I feel like I need a chiropractor for my neck. You ever gone to a chiropractor?
No, man. The only thing I know about chiropractors is the jokes on The Simpsons.
What jokes on The Simpsons?
Remember when he found the bent trash can and he fell back over it and fixed his back? And then he was charging people to fix their backs by doing that? And then the chiropractors came to put him out of business. And he was like, not till you think about the irony. The doctors tried to put you out of business. And they're like, get rid of the trash can. He's like, not till you think about the irony. And that's all I know about chiropractors.
Okay, so clearly I need a trash can then is what we're getting across here.
Yeah, it was like a specifically dented tin trash can, like the ones that they use in WWE.
Oh, okay. I mean, if it works for the wrestlers, right?
Why do they keep those trash cans under the ring?
To clean after the event, I guess.
You know what? Perfect answer. Makes sense to me now. Makes sense to me now.
Perfect. Run it.
Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh, shit. Okay, bitches, you guys are going to be my...
Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Social Nuisance Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick-in-your-face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow, and get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name is Imagine, and joining me as always, a man joining the protesters as an excuse to get out of the house and walk the dog. Motion.
Yo. If you don't listen to this podcast, you ain't black.
Oh man, that's a good way of going about it. If it's gonna work for the next future president, it should work for you. Why not?
Right? Mr. I jet. Just forgot my name. Joe Biden.
If that's your new nickname for him, that's what you're gonna go with?
Yeah, that one. And then the orange feller, he's the angry mango.
The angry mango.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
You ever seen when you eat around the nut of a mango, but you can't, it's got like fur?
You know, you just fur?
Yeah, like the flesh of the mango, you can't get it all off. It's not like a plum. It's like threaded into the nut. So then that orange fur just kind of fluffs up. That looks like Donald Trump's hair.
Okay. I'm not as acquainted with the mangoes as you are, clearly, but I'll take your word for it.
Oh, dude, I love mangoes. One of my favorite Saturday Night Live characters, his name was Mango. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah. Was that Chris Kattan?
Yeah. Mango is like a rainbow. You can see, but you cannot touch.
How you living, man? It's been a while since we've done this podcast.
It has been, man. Life gets in the way, dude, and then computers get in the way, and then Wi-Fi gets in the way, and Wi-Fi, and, you know, Wi-Fi, and... Antifa and
all of it all at the same time. Yeah, I was looking back and I think our last episode I think was on Mother's Day, so almost a month ago. Yeah, dude.
That's all I got, dude.
It's been way too long, and it's crazy too because like I feel like we went absent when the world needed us most. So I kind of feel bad. I kind of feel bad.
Maybe we were out there wearing capes and underwear outside of our pants doing what the fuck we need to do.
That's true. So all those disturbances and nuisances that you've seen on Twitters, that was probably us.
Yours truly.
That was probably us.
We'll flip our hat to ourselves.
But most of my hindrance has been coming from the fact that I've been moving. So I've been born and raised.
Move it.
Born and raised San Gabriel Valley in Southern California and moved to Corona.
Epicenter of Kung Fu.
This is Inland Empire, right?
I don't know. I don't know the rules. Like, so I went from La Puente to Ontario, and I know Ontario is definitely Inland Empire, but I don't know where Inland Empire cuts off at. You know, you got Norco, which is North Corona, which is basically South Ontario, I think. And then I don't know where the blur is. And then I don't know how far out it goes to. Like, does it stop at Fontana or does it go like to Hesperia?
I don't know, but I need a representative of the Inland Empire to lay claim to Corona or not so that I can say I'm in the Inland Empire. I don't fucking know. But all I do know is I need to address the concerns from everybody who's like, hey, you're moving to Corona. Yeah, this is not the epicenter of the coronavirus. It's okay, guys. Sure? I'm pretty sure I'm living in Corona. I was sipping on a Corona beer, and I feel fine.
Well, I'm pretty sure that cancels each other out.
Oh, it's a double negative situation.
Yeah, I think you have to have a Corona every day in Corona, or else you're going to get Corona.
Ah, then tomorrow is not looking good.
Yeah. But, you know, the coronavirus is, it could be a million different viruses. It was like SARS was a coronavirus, right?
Right.
A regular ass flu is a type of coronavirus. The one that's fucking with us right now is it's the Kung Flu. It's the COVID-19, the Wuhan Weezer. That's the one that's taking lives right now.
Yeah, this one's a problem, but I'm okay. So those who are worried about me living in Corona, I'm okay. But moving has been, it's been a process. It took a lot of out of us and had to, you know, focus on that. So that was kind of a thing, but it's not as bad as San Francisco. Have you heard about the rents plunging in San Francisco?
Rents plunging in San Francisco?
Yeah, dude. So everyone's talking about how fucking
are millionaires going to afford to live there now?
I don't know. But apparently, the rents have been going down because tech employees are moving out. They don't need to live in San Francisco if they can work remotely. So you know, that's cool.
Don't you think? Check this out, baby gorgeous. Don't you think that tech employees should have found out at a sooner time that they could do tech from home?
Yeah, I really think so, and I think that's. Where this kind of thing came to the forefront is like when you're doing a job and you comment to yourself like, man, I can just fucking do this shit from home. And turns out they were right. You totally can do your fucking job from home and you don't need to come all the way into the office. And I think that is a good indication of where the future is going. And I think I hope that spreads to the Inland Empire because I can get a bomb ass house in the Dino and then like telecommutely. Right?
Yeah.
Downtown?
Uh-huh.
Or the west side?
Yeah.
That'd be fucking fantastic.
You don't want to live in the Dino, bro.
But I'm just saying, I can make that Santa Monica money, but live in the Dino.
Yeah. If you did that, that would be like making San Diego money and living in TJ. You know what I mean, baby gorgeous?
I mean, you're not wrong.
I'm not, right, babesicles? Hey, I'm going to practice my cute nicknames with you throughout the episode, okay, Honey Bobbles?
Yeah, let's see how many cute nicknames you can come up with that would be sexually offensive to all women.
You got it, chicken butt.
It's going well. It's going really well. But rents for a one-bedroom apartment in the major metro area are down 9.2% in June when compared with the same period last year. I thought that was fucking fascinating. Where it's like, yeah, let's do this. If you could telecommute and not actually commute, and just free up the freeways. That'd be fantastic. I'm all for that.
Is that an indicator of how fragile that area is? That, you know, like people out of work for 2 or 3 months. And I mean, like 10% in San Francisco isn't that much because I'm sure rent's like $2,500 and up. So it's $250. But to drop 10% for like what is essentially a minor, you know, situation. I guess it's not minor. It's more major than minor. But it's not big enough to topple 10%. Well, I think, you know, I think that's it, reflective of how fragile that economy is.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like you said, it's not a huge number drop, but it's significant enough to at least add some weight to the argument of, well, if I can work from home, just fucking let me. I mean, yeah. Too bad both of us are not industries where we could work from home, but.
Yeah, we staggered schedules and got some people working from home. And it's actually pretty dope, dude.
If anybody could, if there's ever a situation where it removes cars from the freeway, I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So telecommuting, I'm with it. Just get the fuck off the road. I'm cool with that. Go ahead.
Yeah,
home.
Definitely. I was going to say something, but I forgot. So let's just keep rolling. Don't need to hold the whole show up on my absenceness.
All right, well, if you think about it, just be sure to rudely interrupt and we'll get right to it.
I doubt I will think about anything. Let's go!
Dude, okay, let's get into the nitty-gritty. There are protests. Shit is going down in the streets. How are you feeling about all this?
I get conflicted feelings just because of the time and space that we're in, right? You know, with the whole coronavirus and the pandemic going out and about. But, you know, I guess there are some things that are worth taking a risk on. I mean, I go out to buy, taquitos. So, and I'm not really sending a message when I do that.
Yeah, but you're also not, you know, walking in a group of 100 people down the street to get
exactly thousands of people. So I don't know how that was. You know, obviously there's I'm excited about the opportunity for significant change right now.
Yep.
And I'm hype about that. As far as the violence behind the protests go, I personally believe that no protest will really accomplish anything without the threat of violence behind it.
Yeah.
I think that the only reason we celebrate Martin Luther King is because Malcolm X existed. I think without Malcolm X, Martin Luther would have probably got close to zero achieved. And I'm not saying, you know, someone on Facebook was trying to say, oh, so you condone the rioting? Not specifically. I mean, I don't exactly frown upon it either. But when I say the threat of violence, it doesn't necessarily mean the actuality of violence. But to
you're
get
gonna carry it out.
Yeah, there's got to be, you know, Roosevelt said you got to speak silent with the big stick, dude. He didn't say you got to speak silent. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Carry that big stick for him was the threat of the military. That's how he made all negotiations. The big threat, the silent stick or the stick behind the silence is, you know, the riot, the violence.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence going both ways on this where I really appreciate the amount of protesting that's going on. First and foremost, I'm not participating. I would be protesting, but I'm also very much aware of the coronavirus and on that side of the fence when it comes to should we be protesting? Absolutely. Right now, probably not, but opportunity knocks, got to take advantage of it, and I totally understand why people are protesting. But when it comes to the violence piece, I'm on both sides of it. I appreciate the amount of protesters, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of protesters coming out and all about the nonviolence thing and just making their presence felt, making their presence known, and doing that consistently every day. Probably because, you know, the economy is locked down, they have nothing else to do. But nevertheless, they're doing it every day and they're so consistent and there's such a consistent nuisance that has to be dealt with, you're starting to see change. But on the flip side of that, there is that perceived threat that at any point in time, this large mass of people could just torch the city.
Could lay it down.
And I think both of those in conjunction is what's laying the groundwork for results that we're seeing right now.
You know, and I did say, I've been kind of calling it out for months. I didn't know what the catalyst was going to be. And I had no idea for sure that this was going to be the catalyst.
What, but George Floyd?
Yeah, I have been saying for months that you can't tell people to not go to work for extended periods of time. You can't lock people down in their home. Something's going to happen. Something bad's going to happen. It's going to pop off one way or another. Now, again, I didn't know, you know, and I'm not trying to play Nostradamus or Bobstradamus, but I did, you know, kind of foresee some sort of civil unrest going on through this process.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I'm not surprised either. The one thing that I'm really kind of excited to see come out of this whole situation is the defund the police movement. And I think it's really great spotlight being shun. That's
shown?
A word, right?
Shun? Spotlight shine? Being shown?
To be shined upon. That's shun.
Shindig?
Sure. I'm going to go with that. You're taking a spotlight and you're shining on the fact that they are just overinflated with their budget. And they have all these toys and things that I just don't feel are necessary to the general role, scope, purview of a police department.
Yeah, I understand. I don't know enough about the defund the police movement to really speak on it. What I have learned about it so far is, you know, basically taking some money from what is allocated for police and then doing, you know, community programs and things like that that would help defer violence in the future that police wouldn't have to deal with it. But right. I also kind of feel like that is a way to negate responsibility. I feel like what they're doing is like, oh, okay, well, if we pay for, you know, a basketball court and the kids should be busy playing basketball, if there's still crime, you're not actually treating the problem. You know what I mean? You're not treating the cancer, which is that these cops are out the fuck of pocket. You know what I mean? What you're hoping to do is preoccupy their usual targets to keep them from becoming targets instead of, you know, taking care of the hammer. When you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And so what they're trying to do is spread the nails far and thin so they don't get hit as often of the hammer, which is the police department. And I feel like that's kind of a bullshit fucking solution. but I don't know enough about the defund the police to really commentate on it. Just from what I've read so far, that's how I feel about it.
Well, the mayor of L.A., Eric Garcetti, reallocated $150 million from the LAPD to education, healthcare, and job opportunities in the black community. Now, surface level, that looks great. I mean, that you can't argue with that. However, once you get into the nitty gritty, that's where I'm concerned, and that's where I want to see what's going to start happening. And I think it was in San Francisco where they announced that non-armed officers are going to be responding to, you know, mental health calls, drug calls, non-violent calls.
I don't know how well that's going to work out. You know, I wrote something the other day. You know that statement that goes, if I'm not back in 5 minutes, call the police?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not going to sound as good when you have to go, if I'm not back in 5 minutes, call the unarmed he or she or it that has responded, that has to respond to the people that aren't back in 5 minutes squad.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what else doesn't look great on paper, but is actually going down? Chaz. Have you heard about Chaz in Seattle?
I don't know if it definitely doesn't look good on paper or in perceived reality or in person. Yeah, I thought it was funny that they wrote on the police department, property of the people.
Yeah, this is before too,
you know?
this is the people department now.
The people department.
Yeah, so Chaz is the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone in Seattle. There's a couple block radius where citizens have presumably overtaken this part of the city and have turned it into their own sovereign zone. And I had a number of people hitting me up saying, like, this is what you're in favor of. And I was like, not really. No, not particularly. I am interested to see how this is going to play out. It has all of the bearings of the Occupy movement of 2011, where you had people just kind of show up and take a space.
Yeah, but they were taking public space and not claiming it as their own or independent of the nation. They were just saying, like, they were trying to remind people, like, hey, this is our space. You can't kick us off these parks. You can't kick us off this property. You know, they were out front of capitals and
different goals or different, I guess.
Low key, like, I don't know what they're trying to achieve, but I want to invade them. I want to be the one to do it. I want to do it for myself. I just want to show up with me and a couple of the whole homeboys and see how far we could get before they actually do call the cops on us.
Oh man, I'm all for experimental things and trying out new things as far as different ways of life, different ways of governing, and this is just not a good idea. And I don't like it at all.
Pick a better place than Seattle, bro. Like, Seattle's neat, but what are you gonna do when you need your roof repaired? It rains too much. The people are kind of a drag. Oh my God, I'm being invaded. What the fuck is that?
But I mean, you were talking about, like, you know, essential services. You need sanitation. You do need some type of law enforcement. You do need the fire department, emergency services. And technically, all of those cannot access Chaz without Chaz's permission. But the other problem is that who the fuck is running Chaz? You have a number of different groups with varying goals that are occupying the space, and it's eventually going to implode. I'm just waiting for that moment. So I think it's well-intentioned.
Let's go down there, Lord of the Flies status, dude.
I'm just going to take the conch and just blow and say, look, bitches, social nuisance is taking over. We're going to invade. Dude.
Fuck Chaz. This is the SN network now, mother bitches. that's going to fail. And what is Seattle doing about it? Are they just letting them, like, burn themselves out, or?
I saw that the mayor and the police department, they relinquished the territory once they had bomb threats. They had bomb threats. They had threats that they were going to torch the precinct as they did in Milwaukee. Minneapolis? I'm sorry.
Minneapolis, yeah.
Minneapolis. That they were going to get torched, and they were like, oh, well, fuck that. We're just going to leave. So they boarded up, they locked up, and they left. But since then, they were like, well, nothing's really happened, so they just want to run this out. All right, well, we'll just watch from afar.
That's crazy, dude. Why won't you, you could cut the power.
There's a number of different things you can do to smoke them out.
Release the hounds.
But I think what I appreciate is allowing it to run its course. It's peaceful. There's no real issues. But with the minute that there are issues, then you got to shut it down.
Well, there are also issues in the sense that, like, people think they could just hijack shit, essentially, you know?
Well, you've had that happen already. You know, you have these armed protesters coming through and just invading shit on their own, thinking that they can do that. You know, harken back to, I forget that fucking guy's name, who took over the Oregon National Park location, whatever the fuck.
Oh, I'm not sure. I remember the Nevada one.
Yeah, that guy. That guy, his son in Washington. Oh, really? Yeah, in Washington or Oregon, one of the two. They had a group of militiamen that took over a state park office building.
That's crazy, man.
They just took over. They walked in with their guns and said, yeah, we're taking over this space. And they let them do it.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah, with guns drawn, mind you. Here in Chaz, my dead
body. And I hear, I go, never mind.
I'm good.
Wi-Fi sucks here anyways.
Oh, man.
But so do you think that would work? You think I could utilize that tactic or strategy? Like, can I call in a bomb threat to Red Lobster and then just go down there and pig out?
Probably. Okay. I would recommend it.
Is there payphones anymore? I haven't seen a payphone in a decade. I would like to do that from a payphone, because if I do it from my cell phone, someone's going to ping me.
I've seen a bunch of payphones, but they all have the phone hanging off the hook. Like, there was a spy there that had to run away quickly, and now it's just, you know, the other person on the other side is like, hello, are you still there? Are you okay? And it's just hanging, but it's just permanently hanging.
We used to walk through those. Dude, talk about coronavirus. We used to walk, like, at casinos. They'd have, like, 20 of them in a row. And just stick our fingers in there till we could find money. It was probably filthy, dude.
Oh, I remember this one time. Fuck, I must have been like in high school. I came across this payphone, and there was a quarter stuck in the quarter entry slot.
Okay.
And I was like, oh shit, I could probably get that shit. So I stuck my watch strap into the quarter slot so it can get some friction against the quarter. And I pulled the quarter out. I was like, fuck yeah. Holy crap, there's still more quarters in there. So I repeated this process, and I walked away with, I shit you not, at least $2-3.
Damn!
Yeah, it was a win, bro. It was fantastic.
Right next to that cell phone, like our cell phone, payphone area at Circus Circus, there was like a secret door. It wasn't secret. It was like an employees only door. But on the other side of that door, there was a vending machine for 25-cent sodas and 25-cent snacks.
Dude, oh, yeah.
We down there and load the fuck up on employee sodas and snacks, dude. We never paid Vegas prices.
and that's why you are a Vegas connoisseur.
And I still do that. Like, for instance, Palace Station, the second floor is their employee, like, HR area. And you just get off on the second floor. You make a right in that one hallway. They got vending machines right there. Hook yourself up, bro. No one's tripping.
I like how this conversation went to payphones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I took that same approach to women. I just put my finger in all of them until one hit.
And now you're married.
Yep.
Worked out fantastically. Fantastically. Ooh. That's a word. I don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely a word.
Speaking of women, AOC's back in the news. She had a video where she was discussing police militarization and how there is a direct connection towards federal spending in the Department of Defense. Department of Defense. I said that right. Anyways. She said that there's a connection there. And the fact that you see the Department of Defense spending an outrageous amount of money from the federal budget towards, you know, tactics and toys and shit like that, that you're going to see that enabling in the local level. So you see the police militarization, and they're fucking coming up with tanks and they're fucking whatnot because they think it's okay. And she quoted Dr. King by saying that budgets are moral doctrines and that they reflect the priorities of the budget. So if I'm spending a shit ton of money on defense and, well, offense in this case, that's kind of where the priorities are. And if we're spending a sliver in healthcare and spending a sliver in education, it illustrates the national priorities. You think she's on the right track there?
I think there's a couple things at play going on here. I think one, she didn't misquote him, but I think she's using that quote inappropriately. Well, cool little known fact, just to start with those, the Department of Defense, do you know what it used to be called?
Department of Homeland Security? I don't know.
No, it was war. It was the War Department in World War II.
Oh, that's right. The War Department. Okay, that's
they
right.
They rebranded. But I think the quote is correct that, you know, budgets are moral doctrines. And whatever you're spending the most on reflects priority. I agree with that. Now, I think the comparison she was trying to make was our federal budget to it becoming kind of like a role model to local budgets as far as in the militarization of police, because we have such a huge defense spending budget on a federal level that our local governments use that model and militarize cops. I don't know that that's the connection that's made. I know that we had a huge defense spending because back in the 50s, we used to make that shit here. So spending money on the war movement, even when there was no war, was beneficial to us. But now that we still spend that money and we're not the ones producing any of that shit anymore, it's kind of ass backwards. We're basically buying all this armory from other countries for wars that we kind of have to force to happen to spend it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, to justify the spending.
But I think that on a local level, police are militarized just because they're unchecked. You know, there's no one saying, and look at what happened to Kaepernick. You're unpatriotic. You know, there's no way you could run for local politics and say blatantly out loud, we spend way too much on cops. This militarization has to stop, but you'll go nowhere.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And yeah. I think that that's a reflection of that, of basically what's become local tyranny in cities across this country, is that there's no one there to check the police. And that's fucking unfortunate, dude.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem. Rem on Facebook said 95% of the time, she's right. So that's I would have to agree with you. I'm not sure about the other 5%, but yeah. Dylan on Facebook also said, not every police department has tanks or troop carriers, but they're extremely useful for active shooter situations or barricaded suspects. I mean, sure, you have the right tool for the right job, but I'm not sure where we need a Lamborghini LAPD car.
Well,
I don't see where they're... Oh, yeah, I've seen the pictures. Or a Tesla police department vehicle.
I wonder if some of those are compensated and then decked out.
I would hope so.
What I would say is, okay, if you want to take that approach that those are functional for active shooter situations, why do I see them out there when there's no active shooters? In anticipation of? So are you making the first strike? The way that all these cops were set up for riot gear during the protest and the way they were decked out for active shooter situations, when there's no active shooter, means something here is not being appropriately used.
I totally agree to that. I mean, you have all of these peaceful protests and you have lines and lines and lines of police officers that are just decked out and ready to fucking go. But, you know, at what point, what message are you sending to these peaceful protesters? Like, they're there protesting you. Why not show up, you know, in your regular gear? And if shit pops off, then yeah, absolutely. Call the cavalry and have a different unit take over the situation. But just to line the streets with riot gear, I mean, it's just, it doesn't make sense to me. And I think you're sending the wrong message. You're spending inappropriately. And ultimately, the people are aware of it and they want something done about it now.
I think it's absolutely fucking insane. Or my dad would say, unfucking believable, right?
Yeah.
That we were boycotting and protesting police violence. And they decided to give us thousands of videos of police brutality in reaction to the speaking out against police brutality. That is fucking crazy.
Yeah, you would think they'd be on their best behavior and shit to send the right message. And they're just like, nah, fuck everybody.
It is crazy how many hundreds of videos have came out of cities across this country of total disregard for human life, human safety, protocol. You know, rubber bullets, they're made, you're supposed to shoot off the ground and they'll bounce up and hit people. You're not supposed to be aiming at people's fucking faces. You're not supposed to be driving in an SUV with a fucking blow gun of pepper spray just macing a city block. That is not protocol. Never anywhere has that been okay. And that's because we got unchecked police forces across this country, dude.
Yep. And now I'm seeing, you know, action being taken towards all these people that are filming the police. And there was an interesting law that just came out not too long ago in Tucson. The city council created a new class 2 misdemeanor punishable by a maximum of $750 fine that allows the Tucson Police Department to arrest those who refuse to stay outside crime scene boundaries while filming at police calls. So this is a double-edged sword for me. Now, I'm all for people showing up and filming an unfolding police situation to keep them honest, because clearly they're not on their best behavior. But after reviewing this article a little bit further, I actually found out that it was in response to a video that the council saw that shows a YouTuber that was harassing the cops to get a reaction out of them, so that way he can get more clicks on his YouTube channel.
Okay.
So then I was like, okay, then absolutely. So let's say, you know, situation's unfolding. This YouTuber shows up and starts, you know, antagonizing the cops while they're trying to do their job. Now, antagonizing, harassing. Yeah, absolutely. We don't fucking need anyone getting in the way if there's some shit popping off or if there's just a situation that they need control of. But now I'm just concerned about how the interpretation of the law is going to be utilized by the police when someone is trying to film a situation or question the motive of the situation as it's unfolding. It's a double-edged sword. So I'm kind of in favor, but I'm also kind of cautiously pessimistic about it as well.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if there's anybody. Okay, there's two sides to this. I don't know of anybody who can say what that cop did to George Floyd is anywhere near acceptable. I think that hit to the core across whatever fucking party line you think you got to tote, and whoever the human that you are, we all saw that and saw something wrong with that.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, I don't think anybody has a problem with somebody who's fucking with the cops getting it. I think our problem is when someone's not fucking with the cops and getting it.
That's true.
You know what
That's
I mean?
Very true.
If you want to sit back and film a situation and then a cop starts coming at you, yelling at you, and then he starts stepping on your toes and pushing you, a big thing cops will do, I learned at a young age, is they step on your toes so that your reaction is to push them off you. And most people only see you push the cop and then it's on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, dude, if you're going to take time out of your day to go and harass and fuck with police, you kind of got it coming. You know what I mean? I hope that I don't think you should get like an attacking the officer charge, but you should probably get your ass beat and spend the night in jail, because you know who doesn't need added stress is fucking cops, because they get the added stress all day, every day. And a YouTuber probably isn't going to be the one to catch the wrath. It might be some innocent black kid a week later.
Yeah, or someone later on in the afternoon after they had time to digest how much, you know, they fucking hated that guy.
Or their family. You know, cops go home to fucked up families.
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing I'm really kind of glad to hear about this particular ordinance is that the council is going to review the ordinance in a year to see if it's working as intended and whether the boundaries police are setting up are reasonable for the circumstances. So I really like that they're like, okay, we're going to put forth this law, but then we're also going to review how it's being utilized to determine if it's being utilized responsibly. So they're aware that it could be on a path of irresponsibility. And I like the fact that they're going to check up on it. So
I love the way that sounds too. I feel oftentimes with this government, once an inch is taken, it never gets put back. But I do like the idea, and I hope that they follow up on that, and I hope they make true to it, you know?
Yeah, and that's kind of the things that I enjoy when you talk about change, reform, revising laws. Let's try something. Let's try it. Let's, you know, do a debrief of it and see if it worked, didn't work, what was good, what was bad, and then go from there. The government should always be that in some shape, way, or form. Nothing should always be black and white. If, you know, if something's working over here, let's continue that. If we tried something and it didn't work, then it's like, okay, well, that's fucked up. That didn't work. We should probably not, you know, charge people ridiculous amounts of money for diabetes.
Sorry,
diabetes syringes. It's in the back. Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, let's take a shot at something, and if it doesn't work, fantastic. And if let's keep swinging at it. Hopefully something will come from it.
I got a quick question I got to whisper out while the house is kind of empty.
Okay.
Do you think they could make an underground railroad for husbands?
An underground railroad? Who's going to lead that?
Fuck. I don't know, but... All right, never mind. So, and then...
I would need a male Harriet Tubman.
I thought Harriet Tubman was a male.
Oh man.
No.
We gotta catch you up on the History Channel, bro.
They can't all be home runs.
No,
hey, but
no.
For real, the Underground Railroad was underground.
Yes, yes.
Classic.
Judges.
Classic.
Yes, it was. She'll never live that one down.
Oh my god!
And you need to know your American history in order to be prideful in the country. But as of right now, a Gallup poll finds that Americans are not as proud to be Americans as they have been in 2 decades.
In 2 decades? All right, let's briefly, real quick, let's go through 5 big events of the past 2 decades that would have been kind of somewhat shameful that this is surpassing those. So let's see.
Wait. Five events that we're not proud of. Not proud of.
Yeah. So like maybe Afghanistan, right? That was kind of embarrassing. Or Iraq. No, Iraq was good for a while.
No. I'm going to say all of that was all bad.
I know. Gaddafi. Yeah. That was bad.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I think that was pretty bad.
Do you remember what's her name? Not Whitney Houston. Who's the Clinton? Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton.
Remember she. Did you see her speech after she killed Gaddafi?
No.
She said, "We came, we saw, he died." Like trying to make a parody of the Julius Caesar Vina Vidi Vici.
Really? She really did that?
Yeah. So that's kind of shameful. I was kind of embarrassed to be an American when she made that speech.
I was going to say that I was pretty ashamed that she robbed the election from Bernie Sanders in 2016. That was pretty shameful.
Oh, and then again in 2020 with Biden.
Yeah.
So we'll say the DNC, that's been kind of shameful. That's embarrassing on a global level.
Also, the RNC for endorsing Trump as a good candidate.
I was going to say Trump winning. That was kind of hard for Americans to swallow, right?
Oh, that's definitely up there. That's definitely.
All right. So we got a few things that over the past 20 years have been kind of make Americans kind of put their head down.
Yeah. And I think it's like a steady decline. You get one thing after another that just like, oh, that's damn it. We did that. Ah, damn it. We did that too.
Yeah. You know, but so, yeah. I can see, I hate fucking Gallup polls. I hate most polls, but Gallup, I just think about the people who answer that phone call. So, you know, it's random phone calls.
Yeah.
And someone answers and they go, hey, we want to take a survey. And who's the dumb bitch or fucking boring piece of shit that says, all right, shoot.
Hey, man.
None of us would.
In the age of coronavirus, we have nothing better to do, bro.
That's true.
We're doing some stupid shit. So only 42% of those polled say they are extremely proud.
Extremely proud?
And only 21% say they are very proud to be an American. And again, these are the lowest numbers in 2 decades.
And you know, I don't know. It's weird to be proud of anything that you had no control over. But
well, I mean, you were born here. You're an American, sure.
Yeah, I know, but that's weird to be proud of, right? That's not an accomplishment.
Well, I'm saying that into your adult life, you could potentially have the option to just fucking leave, right?
I guess. But then Gallup wouldn't call you because they're only calling Americans.
Right. So how's your pride? How's your American pride? Where would you fall? Would you're extremely proud? You're very proud?
You know, I think my pride blips with moments of happiness. And like to me, happiness and pride aren't particularly a plateau or a stage. Yeah. It's like a cookie. You know, like, oh, I'm happy for this moment that I have this cookie in my life. Like I take a lot of pride in when I did used to go to marches. I take a lot of pride in when I get in heated political debates, because there's certain places where you can only do that, and America's one of them. I take a lot of pride in practicing American. I take pride in when I get to use my guns legally and appropriately and in a healthy way, when I go hunt or, you know, down at a range. I take pride in different things, dude. I do have what I would call American pride, but I would say very rarely am I extremely proud. And even on a more like periodic time, does it have to do with world events? It's more about when I'm practicing my Americanism, am I proud? And that can oftentimes be completely irrelevant to current events.
Yeah, I would say, I was going to ask, have you ever gone to a different country where they look down upon you for being an American?
I have. And oftentimes, anytime I meet someone from a different country, I ask about that. What is the world view on Americans right now? Or even an American that travels out of the country a lot. I'm constantly fascinated with what the world thinks about us.
Why? Why?
Just because we are insanely diverse, but for some reason we are most fascinated with the worst of us. like when I watch reality TV or like, I don't know, even the news, like we only get highlights of the worst shit. So
that's true.
If that's us here in our environment, we can only imagine what the rest of the world gets. It has to be even worse than that. Nobody is delivering good news, let alone internationally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I'm always curious.
I'm pretty fucking proud to be an American. Definitely there's not some things that, you know, you want to be prideful about. But like my question, you know, when you go out of the country and you talk to someone, they're like, oh, you're an American. And they either snicker or they say outright, oh, Americans, you're a fucking idiot, right? You know, I take pride in the country. I take pride from where I'm from. And, you know, just recently I had a cousin of mine tell me to take my wife and kid and leave the U.S.
Yeah, what the fuck was that about, dude?
So they posted something about flag burning, right? Yeah. And I posted a response saying, you have to be understanding, or what would you say to someone who burned the flag, but they don't respect it the same way that you do? Because why would they respect a flag if the flag that that country represents doesn't respect you?
Correct.
That's the mindset of someone who's burning the flag. They're so fed up with where they live that they are just going to say, fuck it, burn it, kill it, you know? And I tried to provide that perspective towards empathy. And of course, you know, with this particular crowd, it was met with like, you know, ah, fuck you. Like, if you're not, you know, going to respect the flag or respect the country, blah, 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 then, you know, I got the, you know, leave the U.S. comment.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that it came from a family member, whatever, dude, fuck it. To me, I've learned that blood and family are all relative.
Yeah, very much so.
Family is who I designate as family.
Yeah.
Who we share the same bloodline with don't mean shit. Just in the same way that, you know, there's where you were born, are you going to be proud about that? You had no control over that. Well, I have no control over who my bloodline is. Yeah. If they're assholes, I'm not taking fucking responsibility for them.
You know, I got three different takes on that. One, this whole love it or leave it approach that people want to spew on America. I hope that, like, it's good that you found that out about that family, that relative, because you're not supposed to love it or leave it. If something you love needs help, it needs treatment, it needs taking care of, it needs adjusting. You know, what if that cousin was an addict of some sort? You're supposed to tell that cousin, get the fuck out of our family, you goddamn addict. No, yeah. You're supposed to take care of that person. You're supposed to help it. You're supposed to work on it. That's what we do with this country. We're not love it or leave it. We're fucking love it and work on it and treat it and fix it and make it better. You know, if it was fucking love it or leave it, what the fuck? We'd still be the same country we were 200 years ago. We still own people as property. How fucking disgusting is that?
Absolutely.
Flag burning. Get this straight, dude. Mob mentality is a powerful fucking thing. And if somebody sets a flag on fire in front of a group of 100 people, they're not necessarily expressing what they're for sure not thinking what you're thinking. There's no way you could understand what's going through that person's head in the middle of that moment.
Right.
If you want me to take you seriously as a flag burner, set that shit on fire in your front yard by yourself. Because I happen to like when mob mentality takes over, I withdraw 50% of your enthusiasm.
Right.
And then number three, just fucking stop making flags out of flammable shit.
I mean, solution solved.
Dude, God damn it, man.
With your first point, I believe that exact sentiment. I've always told people, you know, when you're confronted with the love it or leave it argument, you know, you don't abandon the things you love. And I love the idea of this country, the great experiment, as they call it. And it requires continued work. You know, it's not something that you just develop. The Constitution is the Constitution. The Constitution is a fluid document. It can be amended. It can be changed. I mean, fuck, they changed their mind on alcohol in there.
Yep.
I mean, that's a clear example, twice, that you can decide that what you want this country to be, you stay, you fight it out, and you make it so. And because of that, I'm never going to leave this country based on the fact that I'm just displeased with who the president is or some stupid shit like that. No, you stick around for the things that you love. So the whole love it or leave it argument is just so fucking stupid.
It is on every account. You don't love it or leave it with fucking anything, or you never loved it. That's it. Exactly. That's all there was to it.
Exactly.
You fucking exploited it. So if you're telling someone to love it or leave it when it comes to this country, you're here to exploit this country, not to make it better.
Yeah, that's my sentiment exactly.
Was he? How do you like that? Sugar tits?
So when they say about, you know, American pride, that's where my American pride falls into place. Am I proud of the things that we've done? No, yes and no. I'm proud we went to the moon. I'm not proud, you know, of racism, continued racism. You know, it's definitely a give and take, but you have to take the bad with the good. You have to own it. This is the country that we're in, but this is not the country that I'm satisfied with. And I will continue to fight for the country I want to be proud of.
Absolutely.
So with all that said, imagine, if you will.
All right.
Going on a full isolation self-retreat.
Okay.
In mid-March.
In mid-March.
Yes.
Okay.
And,
all right.
And not coming back from that retreat. Not coming back from that retreat until May 23rd.
May 23rd. Okay.
Can you imagine how fucking confused you would be?
You skipped out on April Fool's Day.
Yep.
Oh, and fucking pandemic.
You missed Mother Day and the pandemic. Yeah, so this guy went on a self-sabbatical. He took off and he was like, I'm going to self-retreat. So he did so. And he just got back. And on May 23rd, and on Twitter, he was like, hey, guys, I'm back. What did I miss? And fucking Twitter's head exploded. They had to let him know that there was a century, haven't seen this in a century, pandemic, fucking riots in the streets. Donald Trump still fucking shit up, not making things better.
Someone knocks on his door, he's all clack, 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 clack. Hi, we're here to speak to you about our Lord and Savior, Chaz.
They had to give him the heads up on murder hornets.
Are those even, did they come?
Yeah, they got here.
But, or were they like, you know what? Y'all are wild, and went back to where the fuck they came from.
They're like, no, we can't handle this right now.
Murder hornets. The cops are fucking macing everybody. There's no room to fly.
And then murder hornets took off. Like, fuck
murder hornets go back. He's all like bloody and concussed. What happened to you? I got hit by a rubber bullet. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Where the hell were you? Oh, man, I was in America. Oh, what did I tell you about going over there?
Don't you watch the news? This is why everybody in the world looks down on him.
You got black stripes on. What the hell were you thinking?
Man, yeah. that guy's in for... Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess, like, if you could take a couple months off, it would have been a good... Oh, he missed all that free unemployment.
Yeah.
Unless he gets the back pay.
I doubt it. I don't think self-sabbatical qualifies for back pay on that.
I don't think they're checking. He can put whatever he wants. They got 40 million applications to go through.
You're not wrong, man.
40 million unemployed people, dude, and people wondering why the streets are fucking wild right now, dude.
You're not wrong. So that's pretty much the news. I mean, as of right now, I'm sure there's more to come and there's more to cover. But, you know, for this episode, that's kind of it. So
I got, you know,
I want to give you the mic for you know what.
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
Okay.
All right, dude. First of all, let's start lighthearted. You know what?
What?
I want to start a business, a small business. It's going to be MAGA for Minorities. Okay?
Okay. But
what we're going to do is we're going to sell MAGA hats to all the like standard MAGA buyer, right? Okay. What they don't know is this business has been set up like Tom's. Like when you buy a MAGA hat, a minority gets a MAGA. And all we do is say, hey, brother, do me a favor. Put this on when you leave the hood. Just when you get outside your hood, put this fucking hat on. Oh my God, how much safer your life will be.
Yeah.
Cops will wave you off. Karens will shut the fuck up. Karens, Kens? Are we naming the husbands Kens now? Kens will shut the fuck up, dude.
I'm not sure if there's a movement to rename all Karen husband Kens.
No, the Karens. You know the white girl Karens?
Yeah,
that
yeah. Shut up, Ken.
Hey, you know what? You fucking Latina bitches that cause problems over nothing. Karinas, you're in there too.
I haven't heard that one. That's funny.
I just made it up right now.
That's part of your genius.
All right. You know what?
What?
I am so team fuck Biden.
Oh, I know you are.
If I use the Democrats' train of thought on not voting for who you endorse or not voting for who you're against,
right?
I would be forced to vote for Trump.
Oh, really? Because you're that anti-Biden.
Yeah. So like...
Interesting.
Dude is fucking senile. Okay.
Okay.
Look, I'm not a Trumper. There's nothing I'm going to say here to endorse Trump. I'm not going to vote for Trump, but I'm also not going to vote for Biden. Okay, right. There's plenty of other things up to vote for on that same election that I'll be present making votes. But sure. I'm not going to vote for president this year because of my stance that I will vote for someone who earns my vote.
I respect that.
This is what concerns me.
What concerns you?
Is that a lot of Democrats have taken the stance that they're so fuck Trump, they have to vote for Biden.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like if I took that same approach, I would be forced to vote for Trump.
To me, that's...
You know what I mean?
That I'm still just taking that in because I'm such in awe because I would want to spend a whole episode on... I'm sure we'll get to that episode of, you know, Biden versus Trump. And
did I articulate my point?
Yes. Okay. Yes, incredibly well. And to the point where, we just were on the More in Common podcast recently. And
shout out More in Common.
You explained yourself. And just as I said then, I respect where you're coming from. I respect the fact that you're going to sit it out because while I'm pro voting and I want Trump out so fucking bad, I can't help but respect the fact that you have logic and reason to why you're making your decision. And I got to respect that. I disagree with it.
Thank you.
But I respect exactly where you're coming from. And I can't argue with that. I just can't. At that point, it becomes an arguing of morals and values and so on and so forth. And I'm not arguing that. I'd rather argue, are we going to vote Trump or are we voting Biden?
Yeah.
And in your case, I'm just not going to do it because I don't endorse either of them. And I totally respect that.
So, and this is my last, you know what, and if you're listening to this, I hope you share the podcast over it, and I hope you take heart to it. You know what's truly wrong with Americans?
Oh, what?
We're unbelievably spoiled in the sense that we really, really take what's most important for granted.
Oh, absolutely.
Most of us have shelter. Each one of us has essentially what equates to a small castle.
Yeah.
And most of all of us respect each other's castles and never invade one another.
That's a good analogy.
I think that has a huge, huge influence on why people are so fucking shitty to people in the streets nowadays, dude.
How so? Continue.
We don't have the real stress of, you know, if you watch anything on most any other country on the planet, like finding shelter is a real issue. Finding your next meal is a legitimate issue.
Right.
And we don't have those stresses. So, like, can we not trip over parking spots? Can we not fucking trip over, you know, so the color of someone's skin? Can we stop telling people to go back to their fucking country?
Yeah. Or do you think it'd be wise to just roll down the street with a catapult and, like, a flaming ball just to remind people that we could technically, I could totally invade your fucking castle.
You know, right. You know what you could do that would be as scary and like not take nearly as much flame?
Ride a horse?
If you knock on a neighbor's door and when they go to close it, like, say, hey, can I borrow some sugar? Just kind of push that door back open a little bit. Make them go, oh, shit. This person could walk in my house.
I could be forced to deal with a forced entry at any point.
You know what I mean?
That's true. And that's true. And I think a level of empathy of knowing your community and knowing your neighbor will go a long way. Because how many times do you really get to know your neighbor, the guy or girl who lives right next door to you? You probably share a fucking wall and you guys don't have any type of relationship. That really is pretty fascinating.
I always think about like if someone cried in the next room, cried out for help. I would definitely get up and go to the next room and help them. And then I think if like right outside that wall, like maybe in my driveway, someone cried out for help. Right. I would go and help them. If a neighbor cried out for help, would I go out? And then like if it was the next block over, if they cried out for help, if it was the next city, like where do you draw that line? If it was the next state, and at the end of the day, we're all humans. Yep. You know what I mean? And anybody who cries out for help should probably be fucking helped.
That's true. All right. I got two, you know what's.
Let's hear them.
All right, man. You know what? You got to hit me with that what, bro. We're working on it. We're working on it. It's all good. It's all right. The Princess Ariel is the most overrated Disney princess.
What?
She's like she's the Disney princess version of Marilyn Monroe. I got so much flack for that when I posted that on Instagram. It was pretty fucking funny. But yeah, she does nothing She does absolutely nothing. She causes the problem. She does nothing to solve the situation. And the entire movie, the entire conflict is due to her carelessness.
Yeah.
And again, she does nothing to rectify the shitstorm that she created. You think of like Jasmine, or if it is fucking Pocahontas or Mulan, you know, you have all these Disney princesses that do something to change the world or change the situation or change the bullshit that they caused. Ariel doesn't do that. And for some reason, she's one of the most popular Disney princesses, in the same way that Marilyn Monroe is one of the most popular female icons. And I can't understand why. I don't understand why.
Yeah. Tits for both of them. All four of them. Tits.
Cool. Good to know. Yeah. Hey, you know what?
So. What's that, brother?
If you were to go through a drive-in or a drive-through,
okay.
I could roll through a Power Wheels, right?
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. I roll through in a Power Wheels to the drive-in or to the drive-through, I should get service.
You should.
I'm just saying, because as of right now, in the age of Corona, you know, if you're pulling up as a walk-through, they'll serve you.
Will they really?
Yeah, most cases. But I'm thinking about, okay, what's a drive-through? You have to drive through. You know, if you're on a scooter, that's not really driving. But what do you do in a Power Wheels? You drive it.
Yeah.
So I figure if I was to roll up in a Power Wheels to my local Jack in the Box to try to go to a drive-in movie in a fucking Power Wheels, I should get serviced. I should have no issues. Here's the
problem with the drive-in movie. It's all FM radios now. Oh, wait. Some Power Wheels have FM radios now, huh?
Hey, man, I've seen some really fucking equipped shit. Or a golf cart, right? I should be able to pull up in a golf cart.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you should be able to go anywhere in a golf cart. Have you ever been to Catalina? That's Golf Cart Island.
I have been to Catalina. We did not rent the golf cart.
I didn't rent one either, but there were thousands of them. They're fucking everywhere. You want to be a millionaire, move to Catalina, become a golf cart mechanic.
That's true. But that's all I got, man. Anything else you want to add before we close out?
That's it, man. Just that I love everyone. I hope they're safe. And I hope we get insane progress over the next couple months, man.
Yeah. Agreed.
And I hope someone tells Joe Biden he's a candidate for president, because I'm not sure he knows that yet.
Yeah, that's also probably true.
I hope someone tells that to Donald Trump, but I don't think he gives a fuck.
That's also very true. As always, I want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in the Venmo at Social Nuisance. And lastly, don't forget there was power in numbers, and that's clearly more evident now more than ever. And together, we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine, and that's the Main Man Motion. And we'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast. Later, bitches.
Love and peace, y'all.